Twice a week.
Okay.
Twice a week.
So you go because you know what you need.
Right.
And the quantities and what exactly you need to buy.
Right.
So, I mean, how much earlier do you have to get up to do all this?
5 a.m.
You get up at 5?
Yeah, I leave the house around 5. But, you know, I could order from a company, bring me exactly the same product.
Right. And it will arrive at the restaurant.
At the restaurant, the exact same quantity.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably, maybe at some levels, even maybe better quality.
Really?
But I'd rather support the guys that are doing it day by day. The guys that are bringing in from the farm. The guys that are out there with their kids selling. And, you know, as much as like you think of like you go to a farm and you got the guys out there picking with their families and they're out there. They're doing the same thing in downtown L.A. These guys are out there.
Same kind of strategy, yeah. Right?
There's guys out there with their kids and they're running these shops and they're really trying to make a go at it. I'd rather give them the business and support them.
Right.
Then
with
maybe
the cash in their hand.
With the cash in their hand, as opposed to having some big company come in. And at the end of the day, I mean, you know, we're a business. We're there to make money. And we do save money by going to them.
Sure.
So it's a dual-edged sword that cuts well on both sides.
Let me ask you a question. It seems like, I mean, obviously, one would think that's more work, right?
Yes.
To go do it yourself. Like you said, you could order online and place an order and have it delivered to your doorstep daily if you needed to.
Right.
Don't you think that's part of the fun, though? Like doing you create the menu, you get out of bed earlier than everyone, and you go get the produce, and you bring it back, and you prep it, and then you make it, and then people order, and then that's your day. Your day starts.
There's some gratification knowing who has your food before you actually have it in your hand. The guy that brought it in, the guy that at 6 o'clock in the morning on every Thursday is there with a donut and a cup of coffee for you because you're bringing him, you know, a few $1,000 worth of business in one day.
Right.
And it's gratifying. It's good to know that you matter to somebody out there and that they matter to you. You know, it's
and I think that coffee and donut, it could be really anything, but it just shows like there's just like a really nice like support system in place for each other. That's all stems off good honest business, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now when do you get to the restaurant after a produce day and start prepping?
Well, we're not done yet.
Uh-huh.
We got to go pick up a few more items.
Okay.
I pick up all my own meat.
Okay.
And that's going to several different butchers, one of which is called Zacatecas Meat Market.
Wow.
And we've been buying meat for him. I set up the program at Malo 10 years ago, and he's been the same meat guy for us for 10 years.
Where's Zacatecas located?
Pico in Arlington.
Okay.
And a small mom and pop. It's like literally... at some point, it was at the point where it was going to, like, bust. It was going to go out because the laundromat next door to him was under construction. And so it was a big, and, you know, that's where half the business came from. And he made it through. They finally finished, and he's doing better, and I wouldn't switch. It's
very loyal to your vendors, right?
Very loyal. It's good business for me to be loyal to someone that's loyal to me. And, you know, I could be, it's Sunday afternoon. I can't get meat anywhere else. I call him and, oh, sure, no problem. I'll bring it right over. I'll be right there. You know,
he'll deliver it on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're short if need be.
Same. So after the meat, then we hit the spice market. And that includes picking up all the chilies and all the dry goods and the achiote and we use like 7 different dry chilies in the restaurant. So we have to hand pick all that stuff up. And when I say hand pick, it's like one batch is hotter than another. So you need to sample each package so they match up.
So you have to actually sample them.
Yeah. Wow. And you smell and you do the taste and you check the seeds and make sure they're not too dry and make sure that they're not old and all that.
I mean, it seems like there's a whole math to it.
It somewhat, really is. Yeah, absolutely. And then after that, we're still not done. we got to go, you know, we have to, we go pick up some of the canned goods that we use. And right now we're at probably less than 5% canned good in the restaurant.
Wow.
And the only reason being is that there's some things that we can't get. One of which right now, short supply of pumpkin flowers are on short supply. So we're having to get a canned one in until we get past this dry season.
Yeah.
And then we'll go back to the fresh. And so there's a lot of picking up and a lot of knowing where to go and knowing the nooks and crannies of LA.
And this is about twice a week.
The produce, all that happens twice a week.
Wow. Wow.
Twice a week.
So you're actually getting up that early, making all the stops, coming back to the restaurant.
Right.
And then prepping.
And then prepping.
So there, I mean, that's already like three huge destinations.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that you accomplish before opening the restaurant doors.
Right.
Wow. And then when do you get to a restaurant on a day like that?
Well, Tuesday, I'm probably at the restaurant around 11:30. And then I get ready for lunch. And we do all the specials in-house. And if we're going to use a bread, we bake the bread. And if we're making a special dessert, we bake the cakes. And everything that we can do in-house, we do in-house. And that's right now 95% is done in-house. We were making all our own tortillas, and we're making, you know, we're doing, if we made tamales over the holidays, we ground our own corn to make the tamales. And, you know, my guys hate me for it, but it's the only way to ensure that our product is the best it can be. And even at that level, that commitment to making a good product, sometimes you still fall short. So imagine if we were using, you know, canned goods, or we're using other, like Maseca as opposed to fresh corn, you know. So
it's a standard that you already set. So, yeah. I mean, that's really killer. Now, let's talk about your toy store, vintage toy store that you are involved in.
Yeah.
Okay. It's called?
Screws.
Screws.
Old school toys, skateboards, and oddities.
Okay, yeah. Now, at the break, we were talking about the Shogun Warriors. Now, those old Shogun Warrior figures stood about, what, a foot and a half high?
24 inches.
24 inches.
Yep.
Plastic.
Plastic.
And it came in the boxes that you
big, giant, beautiful box.
And it would be like Guy King. And
right.
I know what's
Dragoon.
Yeah.
And the Great Mazinga. And And then, oddly enough, you know, they had these great robots, and they said, you know, what would be complete without, like, Godzilla? So they threw Godzilla as a part of the show.
I remember that. He was part of that. Yeah, Rodan and Godzilla were part of that series.
Right.
And
his hands used to fire out.
Yeah, and he had the tongue.
Yeah, the tongue lasher.
Yeah, and you would come out, and they had fire painted on the tongue. So rad. And then you'd have the...
He's actually our logo for the store.
Okay.
Is that Godzilla.
Now, obviously that stuff is out of print, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now... Has there been, since the 70s or early 80s, have there ever been any reissues?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Unifive. And then Unifive did one, and then Seven, you know, the guys that do they do some reissue stuff. But, yeah, there's been a couple of reissues on them. Not as nice as the first ones.
Right.
Like, the plastic was really, like,
thick.
Durable, and you could, like, smash them on your brother's head.
My dog would be chewing it, and I'd take it, and it's like, oh, there's no bite marks.
Right.
Just hit the dog.
Right. So, but, yeah, there's been a couple. They're still super expensive. I mean, even the reissues are hard to come by.
Well, I remember back in the day, you know, I think I was living in Monterey Park back in the day, and we'd go to, like, Toy Villa in East Los. Remember that?
Yeah. Toy Town on Valley.
Toy Town on Valley, all that stuff, and... I remember back in the day, like, this is 1980, 1982. I was between five and seven, and these Shogun Warriors were probably about $50 at the time.
Yeah, expensive.
$59.99 at that time.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a pretty penny for a toy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you sell those at right now?
I have a Dragoon in the box right now at the shop. He's up at $400.
Okay.
And then
I've looked online. That's about going, right?
Yeah. And then I have a shrink wrapped NOS, like, which is new old stock Godzilla, still in the box, never removed, with all the inserts. He's up at $800.
Originally shrink wrapped.
Yeah.
Wow.
All NOS, but I'm a hoarder. Yeah, I'm a certified
good for
hoarder.
You.
I've been hoarding for like 20 years. So
now all that stuff that we're talking about, you know, that's my cup of tea. So you have the Godzilla,
right,
from that series.
Oh, I have all of them from the series.
You have all of them.
But the only one that's...
Personally or for sale?
No, personally.
Okay.
The loose ones are for sale, not the box ones.
Not the box ones.
Yeah.
You got it like that.
Yeah. And the shop consists of everything like Star Wars, G.I. Joes, Hello Kitty from the 70s.
70s Hello Kitty. Yeah. Wow.
My Little Pony, Rainbow Bright, okay, Care Bears, Strawberry
let's
Shortcake.
Let's talk Star Wars really quick.
Let's talk Star Wars.
Okay, because that's what I'm all about. I don't subscribe to this Star Trek crap.
Right. And
at all. So you too, right?
It broke my heart when I heard J.J. Abrams was going to direct the new Star Wars thing. I was like, what the fuck? Really? Come on, man.
Yeah, dude.
You do Star Trek, buddy. You don't do the Star Wars.
That's just movie politics.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, okay. So, original Star Wars,
right.
1977 action figures, first
right.
movie, in the package, still sealed, like, I'm talking Jawas,
right.
Stormtroopers, Death Star commander,
right.
Obi-Wan, Han Solo, Leia in the white outfit,
right?
Sand people,
right?
You know, the cantina guys, Greedo, Snaggletooth, Hammerhead, Walrus Man, all that stuff.
All that stuff.
Like, what's that going for loose, and what's that going for in the package?
Because I need it. Loose, you could pick up loose figures for anywhere from like $5 and up, you okay. know, if they have their weapons. Package stuff with the 12 back, which means there's only 12 figures on the back of the package.
Because that's all there was.
That's
at the time.
All there was. Vinyl Cape Jawa, I sold about a year ago for $2,300. I just sold a Star. I just sold a 12 back Stormtrooper online for $900.
That's sick.
So the money's it's big money.
You
it's
know, and I'm looking for a 12 back Power Droid.
No. No.
Is that hard?
Yeah, you're not going to get one.
That's rare?
Yeah.
Do you have it?
No.
No. So you know where I'm coming yeah. from. You're like, no.
No.
Ain't going to happen.
No, not going to happen.
Like, if you had that 12-back power droid.
There's a few things that...
Like, what would that go for, you think? Like, 3K, 4K?
Oh, easily.
Easy, right?
Easily. You know, the big one right now that is Vlix from the cartoon.
Yeah.
The droids cartoon. Yeah. He was only available in Brazil.
Yep.
And there's some counterfeits here and there. But if you find a real one packaged, you're talking anywhere from $5,000 on up.
Now, in 1984, I remember I saved up enough proof of purchase.
To get your mail away?
Bar.
Right. To get the mail away.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if you still had it in the original box, you know, it'd be worth a few dollars.
Yeah, he came in a white plain
mailer.
Box. Remember
yeah.
that?
With General Mills stamped on.
Yeah, oh, General Mills, yeah. dude. What the hell?
Yeah.
Now on to Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
Okay. Hoth Wampa.
Right.
Okay.
With the playset.
Yeah, okay. Hoth Wampa. Do you have one of those?
Yes.
Store? Okay. Is it in the box?
I do have one in the box.
Okay. Now, what about the Hoth playset?
I do have a Hoth playset.
Now, that's where you build the bridge and you could...
And it has the turret and the little... the probe, the... Power cannon.
Right.
And the radar.
Oh.
Yeah.
So heavy.
Yeah, I got a couple of those.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because, you know, I think I'd sell my children for toys at some point. I was like, Johnny, I didn't mean that. I love you, baby.
no, I mean, there's something about looking at the packaging. It's so simple. But, you know, like when you just look at the live shot from the movie on the back part of where the figure is like glued or, you know, just
this
installed.
This is, you know, when I grew up in 1977, I was 5 and I got for Christmas an X-Wing.
Okay.
And the box. And it had like little radar thing. And there was a picture of a kid, a blonde haired kid flying it. And it was like the orange and it was black. It was like, whoa, that's going to be amazing. I ripped it open and I got it. And it was like, okay, that's not so much fun.
Yeah.
I fell in love with the packaging.
That's what it was.
And from there, that's why I have so much inventory right now that's not opened because I'm the original owner of it. I mean, I have everything boxed and carted from G.I. Joe, Transformers from like 1979 till 1989, 90. Wow. Boxed and carted. You name the series, I got the toy. You know, SWAT Cats, you know, Inspector Gadget, Ren and Stimpy, all the stuff from the 90s. And back in the 80s, Indiana Jones.
What about GoBots?
GoBots.
Leader One,
from Tonka, man.
Tonka,
the poor man's Transformer.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, the Transformers, I mean, I remember, you know what was rad? Is when my mom bought me Megatron. And I just thought it was so badass that, like, you know, Soundwave or Shockwave would turn it, or, you know, the Dinobots would turn into, like, these dinosaurs,
right.
Or Thrust and Dirge would be jets. But Megatron turned into a cuete.
He was just a gun. He said, gun. What's up, eh?
Like he's a giant robot. And then he turns into a fucking gun.
Right. Like, just a big gun in space flying around, yeah. You know.
And just blasting shit. People. Like, what's up? You want some?
I got your back, eh? Fuck it. I said, what's up, homie?
That's like the OG Veterano Megatron.
That was it, dude. He came with a bandana, you know.
Yeah.
And a spray can.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So... As far as Transformers go, I mean, do you have a pretty nice selection of those as well?
Yeah. My collection's pretty crazy when it comes to the 80s stuff.
Wow.
Transformers, like Optimus Prime, box and sealed, Soundwave box and sealed, all the cliff jumpers, like, you know, Bumblebee's like this big giant Camaro now, but before
he's a little Volkswagen.
A little Volkswagen.
And the way he was packaged
on a card,
he was like the Star Wars figures.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
And the five small robots from the Autobots, they were all packaged that way, like Huffy and Brawn.
Yeah.
And who else was there?
There was going back to the cards, though, was the Sears exclusive was the Devastator.
The Constructicons.
The Constructicons, yeah. Which turned into be, you know, the big... But all the small cliff jumpers, if you can find them carded, there's so many bootlegs now, but,
yeah.
You know, they're a couple $100
this for a set. About skateboarding.
No.
Now, are you carrying new stuff or are you carrying vintage stuff?
In the area I'm at, I'm in Virgil Village, which is Virgil and Melrose. I'm down the street from like Cha-Cha-Cha in between Skrull Preserve. I'm on that block. A lot of skaters in the area, a lot of kids. And so at first I brought in, you know, a lot of vintage old skateboards and stuff, a lot of autograph stuff, a lot of one-offs and stuff, protos and stuff. And it wasn't working. I started bringing in like used skateboards that I'd buy, pay 25, turn them around, complete decks, sell them for $50 and $60 for the kids in the neighborhood. You know, and so you can go buy a blank and get some trucks and some wheels for 50, or you can get like a really nice, you know, like Element or Baker, or, you know, Chocolate or Ghetto Kid skateboard for 50. And so it serves a need for the kids in the neighborhood.
That's cool.
And that's where it's at.
So you actually like did that to like keep a low price point for the kids in the neighborhood?
More so the store right now is more like a storage for me. Because I go there on Sundays. I put on the TV. I kick it. And
Is that where you kick it?
Yeah, on Sundays, man. My kids come over and like we'll watch movies. We'll order takeout. And, you know, if we happen to sell something, we happen to sell something. Right. And, you know, we get kids from the neighborhood coming in like, hey, I need trucks. And, you know, oddly enough, I have, you know, a couple hundred trucks available that, you know.
Pairs.
Yeah. You know, that are used and they still grind. They're still good. I'll turn them over to the kids for, you know, $15.
That's cool.
So.
I mean, because usually they're like $45 bucks for a set.
Right.
$50.
The thing for the neighborhood is that it's still an up-and-coming neighborhood. It's not where it eventually will be. You know, we're probably about 4 years out. So we're at the beginning. So rent's really cheap. The neighborhood's changing. It's kind of the new inexpensive place to move in Hollywood that you're still by Los Feliz, you're still by Silver Lake.
Right.
And so we're on the ground floor. And we're going to stick it out by servicing and helping out.
And it's East Hollywood.
Yeah, East Hollywood.
On Melrose.
Yeah.
And that's between Virgil and what else?
Between Melrose and Marathon.
Okay.
On Virgil.
So. Well, thank you very much, Robert. It was a great episode.
Yeah, it was awesome. Glad I was here.
Thank you very much.